Hallelujah. Go ahead and take your seats. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Who's feeling blessed? And some are struggling with life, and I get that at the same time. But here's the thing, God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what's happening in our world today, he's still the same. So we are the blessed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We have been set free from the curse of sin that has hung over our life. Therefore, we are blessed, folks. So whether you know it or not, you are the blessed of the Lord. Amen. And these guys are leading us in worship every week. They are not making it easy for us, are they? They are not making it easy for us. Awake my soul and sing, hello. Sing praise to his name. Almost was having that line. Are you having a laugh, Lord, with us right now? How can you not sing these songs when you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, when you're in love with Jesus? We used to sing that song years ago, didn't we? I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Life gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what joy it is to know the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Is that how you feel about him? Oh, bless you three. In the name of Jesus. Last week we were in Isaiah chapter 66. We're going back in here. We started to look at a kind of exposition of this particular chapter. It's the very last chapter of this rich book of the Old Testament, this word of prophecy through these 66 chapters. Understand this, and this is what we were learning. The people of Israel are under, sounds similar, they're under this strange misconception that because they were chosen by God, that meant they had God's blessing no matter how they treated him, or no matter how they behaved. Wow. That can be up close and personal for us today. Look again at verses 5 and 6 of Isaiah 66. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you and exclude you because of my name have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, yet they will be put to shame. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It's the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. Wow. A Jewish reader may not have been particularly surprised by these words. God is judging his enemies. That's what they often cried out for to God. But in closer examination, we see that this is not a judgment against Egypt or Babylon or the whosoever. The sound of God repaying his enemies is heard where? In the city. It's heard in the city, the holy city, Jerusalem, but it's also heard in the temple. Wow. In the very dwelling place of God, where the ultra-religious priests live and work, that's where God is judging his enemies, and he is judging them because they were not humble and contrite before him. As we said last week, we see our almighty righteous God as a loving heavenly Father full of grace and mercy. And after his warning in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter, from verse 6 on, it begins to bring a message of hope and mercy. And to whom is this mercy directed towards? Verse 5 again, those who tremble at the words of the Lord. We've already said this. Humility is a beautiful thing. Humility is the pathway that every single one of us need to be on. It is a journey for our life. This word we are hearing today was to people who were being persecuted, hear this, and excluded by their own fellow Israelites because they had chosen to worship the Lord their God who had rescued them out of Egypt with his mighty hand. It's an incredible story. Isaiah here shows us something that we all know to be true today. And hear this today. That people love to mock those who are of a genuine faith. It's going on all over the world today. Whether it's your extended family or friends or colleagues or trolls on the internet, you can take your pick. Those who really love the Lord, who are genuine and sincere in their faith, will be mocked for the gospel, for the glory of God. Psalm 38 verse 20 says, "Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good." Amazing. In other words, here's what's happening in churches today and around the world today. People are taking our words, which are the gospel words, and they're beginning to twist our words and their actions to make them something that they really are not. I mean, have you ever said what seems like a very simple insult? You're a do-gooder, or you're a goody-two-shoes. Have you heard those things? Here's what's amazing. We're even being criticized by showing compassion to others. It's incredible what's going on. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." But praise God. Praise God in the middle of all that. In Luke chapter 6 verse 22, it says, "Blessed," that's you and I, "blessed are you when people hate you." Come on. "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account for the Son of Man." Verse 23, in the midst of all this mockery and persecution that's going on, Jesus says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." Even when that's all going on, this is what separates the genuine from the non-genuine believer. When you're in the middle of all the stuff that's taking place, the mess, the catastrophe, the tragedy, the difficulty, the darkness, in the middle of that, you still rejoice in that day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. It's another song we could sing today, but we won't. But he goes further. He says, "Leap for joy." Come on, church, for behold, why are we leaping for joy? It says it there. "For behold, your reward is great." Where? In heaven. That's for destination. That's for stop, the final stop, the place where the train comes to an end and there's nowhere else to go. For scripture says, "For their fathers did so the very same thing to the prophets." And then from verses 7 through 9, we begin to see, hallelujah, this glorious picture of the salvation that God's people have got and it is waiting for them. And we begin to see this analogy of the mother and the child, hallelujah. Scripture says before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son, hallelujah. Verse 8, "Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this?" Look at the word of God here. Interesting. Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet, no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Verse 9, "Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God?" Now, people will tell you, and I saw it today actually in the front row with Pastor Debbie and Samuel there, no one can comfort you like a mummy. He didn't go to you, Gordon. No one can comfort you like a mother. And here's the analogy that's going on. God will bring that kind of comfort to his people, to you and I. And we say amen and praise God for that. So we're looking at this, and what we're seeing is this. The servants of the Lord, and Danny shared this, the servants of the Lord are to be confident that our good God will finish what he started. Hallelujah and praise God. God will fulfill every single one of his promises. And throughout Isaiah, God has been promising his people a what? A Savior. right through those scriptures, a time of peace, a time of prosperity under the hand of Almighty God. Listen to this again. Does God close up the womb when the time for delivery comes? Will he not bring forth what and who he has promised? No. Listen, church, salvation, according to scripture, and I love this line, salvation springs forth directly from the womb of Zion. Hallelujah. Her children will be born and comforted and nursed and protected in the arms of a loving God. God speaks here with supreme tenderness to his servants who have been ongoing and continually faithful. Church, this is the promise here in Isaiah 66 of Jesus. It is the promise of Jesus. We sung this today. Born of the Virgin Mary. Prophesied and promised over and over again. It almost sounds like a Christmas sermon being preached too early. But it's only 88 days. I checked this morning. We're closing in. We're closing in on it. So we can look at the scripture again and say in Samuel chapter 7 verse 16, and we read that God here made a covenant, the Davidic covenant, with the famous King David, giant slayer of the Old Testament. And he says, your house, that's your family, amen. Your house, your family, and your kingdom, that's a sphere of rule, will continue before me for all time. And your throne, that's the royal authority, will be secure forever. So we can still read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, even though it's not December, because this chapter works all year round, does it not? For unto us, hallelujah, hallelujah, unto us, not somebody else. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen to these verses of the greatness of his government and peace. There will be absolutely no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it all with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the mighty Lord will accomplish this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a word of God for the church today. This is for you and I. You see, before the birth of Jesus, Mary received the following promise. This is where old and new ties up in Luke chapter 1, verses 32-33. And it says, he will be great. He is great. Hallelujah. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, hallelujah, will have no end. Praise God. And again, though Isaiah returns to a warning, this grace, and it's amazing grace, this grace is for the servants of the Lord, but God's foes face a very different future. You see, we can't take all the good, juicy stuff out of Isaiah 66 and leave the rest. And I would love to. And the emerging church in the world today is doing this. We're taking the good, the nice, tastes good, looks good, feels good factor. But you can't leave it there. You can't leave things there. In verses 15 through 17, it actually provides a majestic apocalyptic vision or picture. The Lord is coming. Look at it yourself. The Lord is coming with fire on a great chariot to execute his judgment over all the earth. And those who listen to this, it's serious stuff now. Those who consecrate themselves in the temple, together with those who eat detestable things, scripture says, will be slain. Why? Why is this the case, Pastor? Listen to this. The wicked have to be removed before the righteous can be established in peace. This is the word of the Lord. Scripture says God will use the fire and the sword. Fire indicates the destructive occurrences of nature. Wow, are they happening today? And the sword is the destructive occurrences of history. Is there so much signs around the world going on right now about the end of the times that are laid out before us? But listen to this. God himself is responsible for the punishment of the ungodly and the relief of those who trust in him. Amen. How it pans out. So what we see in here is destruction, is deliverance, and then the glory. It is destruction, it is deliverance, and then the glory. Verse 18, and I, because of what they had planned and done, this is good now, I'm about to come and gather the people of all nations, of all languages, and they will come and they will see my glory. Hallelujah. They will see, they will taste, they will touch my glory. Praise God. And it goes further than that. And the nations will be drawn together to see the glory of God. Now understand this. This is the high point of the final chapter of Isaiah. Greater than the peace and comfort that had already been described, the high point is this picture of the glory and the absolute awesomeness of our good God. You might be saying right now, in this context, Pastor, what is God's glory? Listen to this. God's glory is his infinite greatness, his beauty, his excellence, his perfections, his perfection, his magnificence, his power. This here, the brilliance of his awesomeness. And the scripture says that nothing can come against it, or nothing can lessen his awesomeness or his greatness. Nothing whatsoever. Here's this fantastic quote for you for the week. It comes from C.S. Lewis. And I love this. He says, a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. Hallelujah. And praise God. I want to tell you something. If we are not capturing a glimpse of his glory right now, and we should be to a certain extent enjoying something of the fullness of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead abiding and dwelling in believers today, we should be touching and tapping into that in a day-to-day basis and experience the absolute awe of God in the room and in our lives. But very soon, if we're not experiencing that right now tangibly and touching that, there's coming a day when those genuine, authentic, sold out, radical believers are going to taste the absolute goodness of God in a way that we have never done before. We're going to experience his glory in the land of the living like we have never done before. We're going to come to that place of humility and with contrite of heart, and not just bow, but lay prostrate before him in the floor and worship him, because we're going to be too scared to look up upon his countenance, for the glory and the brilliance and the radiance of our God is going to shine like never before. And if we look on it, we might be blinded by the awe, the radiance, the brilliance shining and gleaming from his countenance. But what a day! What a day to stand in the throne room of God and look upon his face without fear and trembling. Scripture's been telling us for years, and we've been singing it for years, that God's glory will, if it has not yet, fill the entire earth. Hallelujah. Perhaps it's not filling the earth because the ungodly and unrighteousness have contaminated the land that we're living in, but God's going to purge the land. God's going to make things right in his way and in his day. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. But indeed, as I live, all the earth, not some, all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. How? We sung that. I've been singing that since I was one. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The third verse says, right here in this place, Korobo Shondai is moving. Right here in this place, as the prophet said it would be, right here in this place, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hey, hey, that's just scripture. That's just scripture. Habakkuk, hey, chapter 2, verse 14. We shared this earlier on this year. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the cool thing for you and I right now is this. This glory is not restricted just for the nation of Israel or for the Jews. And it's not restricted to Jerusalem. It's not kept here. The faithful from all nations will come. Hallelujah! That's you and I. Because you and I today are servants of the Most High God, whose kingdom will endure forever. Praise God. Now, let's tie this up real quickly in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Wonderful. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. Hallelujah. From every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out with a loud voice. Here's another song. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Hey! Salvation belongs to the Lord who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Listen to this. All the angels. Hey, this wasn't a Sunday show up if you want to show up. Everybody was here for church on this particular day. All the angels are standing around the throne, around the elders, the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, singing, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Let us as a church today proclaim, as David did in Psalm 57 verse 9, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Here's another song for you. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory be over all the earth. Psalm 72 verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Let's come back in here. Let's slide back into Isaiah chapter 66. Let's come to the end of this book this morning in verse 22. We're still seeing exactly the same stuff that's been painted right through the Old and New Testament, as the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord. So will your name and descendants endure forever. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And by choice, I would love to just stop there. But the conclusion gives us a very interesting ending. Verse 24. And they will go out and look in the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. The worms that eat them will not die. The fire that burns them will not be quenched. And they will be loathsome to all mankind. Wow. Rather than simply giving the prophet the opportunity to end in the high note of verse 23, the picture of the glory of God, we also have this horrifying description of those excluded from God in the glory. Church, this is not merely a description of death. For you and I, this is one of the best descriptions we have in the whole scripture of the eternal damnation of hell. See, hell is not a topic that is pleasant ever to speak about. And it makes us uncomfortable. And we sometimes squirm in our chairs. But listen to this. We must. We must. We can't pick and choose. We must be true to the Word of God in its totality. It's not a topic that's pleasant to speak about, but one must, because Jesus actually gave more teachings on hell than he did in heaven. In fact, he quoted this exact verse that is recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 48. Why? Why did he quote this? Because even Jesus knew the horrid reality of hell. So God the Father inspired the prophet Isaiah to end his message not just with the hope of the coming kingdom and the glories of a new heaven, but with a warning about the reality of eternal damnation. Hell. Most folk don't believe in it. They don't believe in the existence of it. In fact, the rationalist says this, I can't believe, watch the subtlety. And this has been preached from pulpits today. I can't believe that a loving God who's supposed to love us would actually allow or send people to hell. I would not like to be in the person's shoes behind the pulpit who's putting that out there. Intellectually, people have a hard time accepting this. In fact, hey, many philosophers and scholars are spending so much of their time right now building a case to deny it. And yet the Lord states very clearly that it is a place to be reckoned with, that is a reality for you and I. So the picture of a final period of fire, whirlwind, and warfare is a popular one with the prophets in one other way. It signals for you and I, when we hear this, it signals for you and I the end of days, the end of time. It sums up what unredeemed man is and what his end is. He actually, man brings all of this on himself. It's not God's fault, Jesus' fault, your neighbor's fault, your pastor's fault. It's our choice to bring eternal damnation or hell on ourselves. And in the end, the earth is to be destroyed by fire, which will include the destruction of ungodly, unrighteous men. 2 Peter 3, verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Listen to this, church, today. And who is it? The Word of God asks, who is it that will face this damnation? Those who have rejected, those who have rebelled against God, not just the fools that say there is no God, but those who pursued religion, but never pursued the awesomeness of God, and the deluded who somehow think that their offerings and their lifestyles mean that they have booked a place with God. And here's the third danger for so many today. Many people, God help us, who think they're right with God because they're good people. Church, this is a vivid warning to his readers that they must choose whether they will be one or whether they will be the other. It is the final evangelistic appeal, and it is on this warning that Isaiah actually signs off. It's his last appeal to the hearts of men. 2 Peter 3 continues in verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. The Lord is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Amen. So let me ask this today. this could be, potentially, whether you're looking in online or sitting in here today, the most important thing you've heard for some time, perhaps. We're hearing wonderful stuff here week in, week out. But maybe you're here today, you're looking in and haven't done for some time. Here's the question. What do you desire most in life? Do your desires reflect what God desires? Let me finish with this quote from John Piper. He says this. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. Listen. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. And his prayer for us is this. Fight for us. Fight for us, O God, that we not drift numb and blind and foolish into vain and empty excitements. Life is too short, too precious, too painful to waste on worldly bubbles that burst. Heaven is too great. Hell is too terrible. Eternity is too long that we should potter around on the porch of eternity. Close your eyes with me, if you will, guys. God is faithful, amen. Aren't you glad that God provided his servant Jesus, wow, to atone for our sin, to conquer death? And he will, listen to this, he will fulfill his promises to Israel despite their current unbelief. He will. And he gives you and I a choice today. Simple stuff. Turn to God and live. Rebel against him. Be judged. Receive his righteousness and then you will experience his peace. Delight in him. Obey him. Serve him from your heart and be blessed. And maybe you're with us in the sanctuary today or you're looking in online and this, again, could be a pivotal moment in your life. So many right now, people are going through the motions, but don't desire the awesomeness of God. Don't hunger and thirst for righteousness in their life. We've settled, become complacent, become comfortable. Other things have become a priority in our life. Listen to this. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not the priority of your life, you're missing. If your relationship with God is not the priority of your life, hey, you're not in the place you need to be. If commitment to your church is not a priority in your life, hey, then other things are, that means. There's so many options out there for people today. And living for Jesus, yes, is also an option. And living in the world, and the things of this world, the materials of this world are also an option. But let me testify to you, there's no greatest choice you will ever make than to commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him fully with all that you have and turn from your wicked ways and trust him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, should these words have struck home to anyone today regarding salvation, which is freely given, but yet the cost was your life. Should anyone's heart been dented or touched by what's been said, would they not procrastinate? Would they not put off making that choice either to come to faith in Christ, to recommit their life to Jesus, to turn away from their own selfish ambitions and desires and to follow you fully, to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you minister over these few minutes as we engage you in song and worship? Would you minister deeply to those, Lord, who need to make that conscious choice right now? For in their hearts they know they are not living for you, Jesus. in the way they should. They're not following your plan for their life in the way they should. Convict men and women today to run after you and to go for you in these end time days that we are living in, perilous times. Cause us not to miss the mark. Cause us not to miss out, Lord, in what you're doing. Let's stand together, church. If anyone needs or feels, we're not going to have an altar call, we can't do that. But if this has been for you today, you need to make yourself right with God. Whether online, you can text us or let us know you need prayer. If you're here today, at the end, you make your way to the cross and we will pray with you. The Lord bless you. Let's stand and sing this song together. Amen.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted. Above the heavens, and let your glory, let your glory, let your glory be over all the earth. Exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth, and be exalted. The heavens, and let your glory, let your glory, let your glory be over all the earth. Oh, be exalted, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, above the heavens, let your glory, let your glory, let your glory be over all the earth. Exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory, let your glory.
and Jesus just be exalted, Heavenly Father. Exalted. Wasn't that a beautiful song by the band? And an excellent word, Pastor. Thanks very much for that. Just as a final act of worship today, we're going to uplift our tithes and offerings. Just come whenever you're ready and be mindful of any distances. Thanks.
Trumpet blast, shouts of joy, all heaven greets the risen King. With angel choirs, come line the way, throw wide the gates and welcome Him. Yeah, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may come in, that the King the King of glory
may come. Amen. Amen. What a great service this morning.